Acts chapter 1.
Let's go there right now.
Let's see this. Let's see this with spiritual eyes this morning. Amen. All right. Acts chapter 1. And we're going to go ahead in verse 4. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. This is Jesus speaking. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. And now when he had spoken these things while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And when they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, and said to them, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. And then they returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying. Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer, supplication with the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Praise God. I want you to see in this step of obedience that they were going to receive the promise. They were going to receive the promise. They were willing to go take that extra step. You know, sometimes when we hear of something that's good, we don't always take that extra step. You know, and I believe that the disciples here, they were probably in a similar situation. They had been, I don't know, probably scared. A lot had happened. The man that they followed for 3 years, who did miracles in front of them, they saw brutally killed. They saw a lot of miraculous things. He appeared to them. But now he's gone from them totally. He's gone from them. And there's a 10-day period of time from when he was taken up into heaven to the day of Pentecost. There's 10 days that they were up in that room praying, obeying what they had heard. Obeying to wait for that promise. To wait for that promise. Now, I spent some time among some Pentecostal denominations, and sometimes people would talk about, well, that believers have to wait for the promise. And I don't believe that that is so, because once the Holy Spirit came and he was poured out on all flesh, he's still pouring out his power, his presence, his comfort, his answers to the world today. We see that the Holy Spirit is still at work in the earth. He's drawing men unto himself. He is transforming lives. Now, Acts chapter 2 picks up the story. We're going to just go there, Acts chapter 2. And the video illustrated what happened. That they were in that upper room. They were praying, they were seeking God, and the Holy Spirit fell. Let's look at verse 1 of Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. And if you want to follow along, you can, either in a Bible on your phone or in a physical Bible. Praise God. And it says this, and when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. So they were in one accord. They were in agreement, and they were in one place. Now, a lot of times, we Christians just gloss over this idea of Pentecost. We do. We don't realize that this was a Jewish feast. This was a Jewish feast of harvest. This was a Jewish feast that recognized first fruits. First fruits were the first fruit of the season that were offered to God. And so when we see things happen in the book of Acts, we don't always connect the two. This is a group of Jewish believers in Messiah. They were believing in Jesus. They saw him die. They saw him raised from the dead. Remember, he appeared to them. Thomas was the doubter, if you remember that. I won't believe unless I could touch his side, unless I could touch his hands. And what did Jesus say in John 20:29? He said, Thomas, blessed are they who have not seen and yet believed. We're part of that not seen and yet believed. Because how many in here have touched his side or touched his hand? None of us. But we still believe. And there's something about Pentecost Sunday that I want us to kind of connect the dots on, that some things I had never even seen. The Jewish feast was called Sukkoth, and it actually had to do with first fruits. It was supposed to be 50 days after Passover. 50 days. So we see Jesus was the Passover lamb, the perfect lamb. He became the sacrifice. He became the Passover lamb. And now we see 50 days later, there's another feast. On the Jewish calendar, it all makes sense. And now, in this particular feast, it's interesting because often some of the traditions of the Jewish faith, they would actually have baptisms. They would actually wash and cleanse themselves as a way of sanctifying and setting themselves apart. In fact, baptism was prescribed under the Levitical law and under the Talmud. They would actually baptize, fully immerse Jewish people at this time of year. So what we see in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 2, is we need to connect the dots to the Jewish roots of Christianity. To connect the dots right here is that the Holy Spirit and power are poured out. And do you remember Acts chapter 1 and verse 8? Let's go back there real quick. He says this, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be witnesses," right? He goes on to say that in verse 5, he says, "John truly baptized with water, but you'll be baptized with what? The Holy Spirit, not many days from now." That's fully immersed. That's fully immersed. So an interesting thing when I was reading some Jewish scholars who were basically saying that under Shavuot, and I might not be pronouncing that quite right, they would be baptized not so much to cleanse, although that was part of it, but the act when somebody would become a Jewish convert, they would get baptized, and it was to graft them into the Jewish faith. They would become adopted, but their actual being, they believed, would be transformed, and that they would be adopted by immersion. So it's interesting. Sometimes we think of just Catholics and Christians and you know, mostly in the Christian side of the world, we think of baptism, and we talk about that. And so we think of that as distinctly a Christian thing. It was not just distinctly a Christian thing. It was also a Jewish thing. In fact, that's why we see in Acts chapter 2, and let's continue on. We did verse 1. Now let's look at what verse 2 says. "And when the day of Pentecost had finally come, they were with one accord in one place," right? And then it goes on to say, "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire and sat upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with other tongues, and as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when they heard this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. This was a sign to those that were attending this feast. This was a miraculous sign. This must have been quite a commotion that happened, that it caused thousands, and I do mean thousands, to converge on this area where the upper room was. I love watching some of the Sight and Sound theater programs, especially now that Sarah is there. And one of the scenes in the Sight and Sound story of Jesus, they take you right up to the book of Acts. And at one point, this wind comes into the upper room, and they portray this in a theatrical sense. And tongues of fire come down onto the disciples. And Peter says, just grabs his cloak and runs outside. And one of the disciples says, Peter, where are you going? And he said, I'm going fishing. Because he was a fisherman. I will make you fisher of men, is what he had said to Peter. And now the power of the Holy Spirit had come on him. He preached a sermon that caused 3,000 people to become Christians that day. That was power. In fact, let's read on. And it said, and when the sound occurred, verse 6, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. And when they were all amazed and marveled to one another, saying, look, are not these who speak Galileans? How is it then we hear each in our own language in which we were born, Parthians and Medes, Elamites, and those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking our own language, the wonderful works of God. And so they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? Others said, they are full of new wine. And then Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Galilee, or Judah, and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words, for these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour in the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my maidservants and on my men servants and maidservants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire, vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know, he being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death. But God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. For David says concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand, and I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart rejoiced, my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh will rest in hope, for you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow the Holy One to see corruption. For you have made known to me the ways of life, and you will make me full of joy in your presence. Then he says in verse 29, men and brethren, let me speak to you freely. The patriarch David, that is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us this day. Therefore, being a prophet, knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that the fruit of his body, according to his flesh, would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne. He, foreseeing this, spoke concerning resurrection, the resurrection of Christ, that his soul would not be left in Hades, and did his flesh see corruption. Nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, of all which we are witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father and promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. I want to tell you, he is connecting the dots. This is a simple fisherman who's connecting the dots. He's preaching an entire sermon that I'm reading to you. Why is it so important? Because this was the day that God was fulfilling the promise. Fulfilling the promise that I would put my law within their hearts. I would give them a teacher, another comforter, someone to lead and guide into all truth. I want you to know something, church. This is not by accident. In fact, under Jewish tradition, they celebrate this feast of Sukkoth, they celebrate it because of the giving of the law. Because it was when Moses came down from the mountain. It was the giving of the law. And now the Holy Spirit comes and puts his stamp on the inside of you. Takes your unregenerate human spirit and makes it alive to God. And so now we can live. We can live in a different way, not under the law, but instead under grace. Instead, we have the empowering one on the inside of us. Instead, we've got the gift of the Holy Spirit coming on the inside. The purpose of the Holy Spirit is not to freak you out. I remember the first time I heard somebody speak in tongues, I was scared. But then I began to understand that it was part of God's entire plan. I remember, back when I got filled with the Holy Spirit, bring a personal testimony into this. This was not long after the cult happened in Jamestown, down in South America, and in Guyana, and my parents were all concerned because there were cults, it seemed like, everywhere in the late 1970s and 80s. Anybody remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. It seemed like there were cults that were stealing kids and brainwashing people and doing weird things. There was even UFO cults. I mean, there was crazy stuff going on. So when I got turned on to Jesus and I got saved and I got born again, I got invited to a Bible study that was, quote, charismatic, meaning they believed in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so there were probably only maybe 10 kids there. They were all high school kids from different high schools. And I'm like, this is kind of cool. I was like, this is cool. God wants to talk to us and he wants to give us supernatural gifts. And I was just so caught up in the moment. And I remember telling my parents, and they were like, be careful. I hope that's not a cult. And I said, why don't you come? And so they actually came and visited the adult version that was at the FBI agent's home. It was really cool. But I just want you to know that I learned that it's in the Word of God that these gifts of the Holy Spirit were for today. They didn't just pass away when the last apostle died. I grew up in a church, they said, well, nope, nobody speaks in tongues anymore. And I'm like, why? And they said, oh, because that was only for the apostles. And then the more I studied my Bible and studied church history, I found out that every single century, going all the way back, there is record of God's people manifesting the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of healing. The vocal gifts of tongues and prophecy. There have been many great church leaders and revivalists of old that have experienced the supernatural power of God as described here in Acts chapter 2. And then we see it in Acts chapter 8. And then we also see it all through the New Testament. In fact, the Apostle Paul teaches about the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit and starts to talk about how those gifts were to develop the church. They are to be signs for the non-believer. And I'm amazed that over these last many years of me walking with Christ, learning the gifts of the Spirit, experiencing them, and seeing them in action, I can't imagine being a Christian without experiencing those. Because there have been times when if it wasn't for that word from God, if it wasn't for that anchor to my soul that I had when I experienced the power of God, when God spoke to me, when God spoke to me individually, and I felt His love, and He was like, it's going to be okay. If it wasn't for those times, I might have let go of my faith. But I had an anchor to my soul because I know Him. Because He gave me the Holy Spirit, and He gives that to you and me if we'll receive it. And you say, well, Pastor, if I'm born again, do I have the Holy Spirit? Yes, you have the Holy Spirit within, absolutely. And you do. But there is an experience called the Holy Spirit coming upon you. In fact, turn with me in John chapter 20. I want to show you something. In John chapter 20, this is not in my notes, so bear with me just for a second. You know, sometimes when we see, here we go. In John 20:29, I made reference to this. When Jesus said to Thomas, because you've seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. Right? Okay, so that's you and me. We believe, but we haven't necessarily seen. Right? And then we see that at one point, right before then, let me see if I can get to that. I have it. Right before that, we see that Jesus breathes on His disciples. And when He breathes on them, He tells them to receive the Spirit. Where am I at here? 22. What is it?
22,
thank you. So in 22, there it is. And He said to His disciples, he said this. He breathed them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Verse 22 of John chapter 20 is when the disciples got born again. It is when they received the Spirit on the inside. It is Acts chapter 2 that we see that they received the Spirit upon in power. So there's actually two separate things going on here. And so when we see that in our own lives, where are you at in your journey? Where are you at in your faith? Maybe you've received Christ into your life. You have the Holy Spirit on the inside. He lit you up on the inside.
Yes.
Right? Because the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth the Lordship of Jesus Christ, then you will be saved. You will be saved. You believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth. It's not about church membership. It's not about going through a class and somebody saying, okay, you're good to go. You're going to heaven now. No, it's about you have a personal relationship with Christ because you believe. It's about belief. It's not about a legalism. It's not about a system. I mean, church membership's great. We have church membership here, but that doesn't get you saved. Okay, it's a personal relationship. So John 20 and 22, and I had it, I knew I had it circled. Thank you for the little help over here. I had it circled in my Bible because that's where the disciples got born again. If they would have died, they would have gone straight to heaven at that point.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Because they received the Holy Spirit. Jesus told them to receive the Holy Spirit. But He still told them to go and wait for the promise. The baptism by fire.
Yes.
That power to be witnesses. You see the transformation of the Holy Spirit in Peter's life. Specifically, Peter is the guy who denies Jesus, right? He's the one who's, no, I don't know him. He's in fear, but now power comes on him. And as soon as the crowd, 3,000 people, he steps out, a fisherman, and he gives the most systematic and eloquent sermon that you can imagine. Well structured by any stretch of the means. A chronologue of history, because he knows his audience is from all over the world. Why? Because they were there to celebrate a feast of Israel. They were there, and he knew. They knew some of the things that he was going to tell them. And under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, he gives them an entire message. It's not real long, right? It's not real long at all. And so it's interesting to me that even though it sounds long when we read it, right? But when you think about it, it wasn't long. It doesn't have to be a long message to transform somebody's life. All right? And I love this, that he goes on to say, where did we leave off in Acts chapter 2? He goes on to say, let's just go ahead and we'll just pick up. We'll pick up,
27.
Yeah, where was it? 27. He says, I'm sorry,
37,
thank you. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. And said to Peter and the rest of the apostle, men and brethren, what shall we do with this?
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
What do we do with this? He just gave them the gospel. He gave them the good news, and then now they're going, what do we do with this?
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
What do we do with this? They were hungry for God. They saw God move supernaturally. There's 3,000 of them. You know what Peter says to them? He says, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
For the promise is to you and to your children, and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And with many other words, he testified, exhorting them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. And then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and prayers. This is the birth of the church. This is a significant event. It is a first fruit. It's a first fruit. It's the first of all of those who would be saved. It's the first. 3,000 in one shot, one sermon. Years ago, I went to the Billy Graham Crusade down in New York City. I was part of the pastoral. It was one of his last crusades before he started to slow way down and then eventually went home to be with Jesus. I believe, did he make 100 or was he about 99? He made it to 99. And I'll never forget being in that crowd of people, and then he would give the invitation, and just, I mean, we were outside. We were there over in Queens, I believe it was, right next to where they play the U.S. Open. And, I mean, just the throng of people saying, I want Jesus. What must I do? I want Jesus. What must I do? From all different backgrounds. From all different backgrounds. This is the birth of the church that we see in Acts chapter 2. We see all through church history where people would come and they would come to know Christ in a very real, personal way. The day of Pentecost is so much more than, oh, that's nice, that's when the Holy Spirit came down. And, you know, sometimes we have this almost cartoon visualization of what happened. You know, if you saw some of the technology that you see now, if you saw it and you were a first century Christian, you wouldn't always know how to describe it. I don't know exactly what tongues of fire looked like. But apparently it was some kind of supernatural manifestation that came down into that room, and you could see it and you could hear it. What was it? It was a transformation. The Holy Spirit wants to transform your life and my life.
Thank you, Lord.
As a teenage young man, and I received Christ, and I walked down that aisle, and I became born again, and I asked Jesus into my life.
Yes.
My life was transformed. About 3 months later, I got filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues. And you know what? There was something to that that transformed my life. My friends in youth group said, "What happened to you? This is a church that didn't teach about being filled with the Holy Spirit." And they were like, "What happened to you? You're bold. You feel like you're sounding like you know God." I'm like, "I do." And it sounded almost cocky. I was not the loudmouth kid. I was the kid who was quiet. I only had two or three friends. I was not the social one. Now you talk to my kids, they say, "Dad talks to everybody."
Yes.
I was transformed. I wanted to tell everybody. I wanted to tell everybody what Jesus had done for me. And now I was empowered to do it. I knew I had power to go to my high school. I knew I had power to pray for friends. People would slip notes in my locker and ask me tough questions. I didn't even know who they were. "Please give the answer in locker 302. I was known as the guy, the Jesus freak, who walked around with a big Bible. I was maligned. I was persecuted. I was thrown up against the wall. I was being threatened to be beat up. One kid threatened to kill my cat. He was known to do terrible, sadistic things. And I remember that day, the boldness of God just came on me. Listen, the Holy Spirit will make you bold.
Yeah.
He will make you bold. And you'll say things like, "Who said that?" This kid was on the football team, threw me up against the locker, called me all kinds of names. My Bible fell out of my hands onto the ground. And it was a big one. I brushed myself off. I went and picked it up. And he said, "What are you carrying that Bible for?" And I said, "I'm a child of God. And he loves you very much."
Wow.
And he looked at me and goes, "You're just such a..." And he started calling me all kinds of names. And I picked up my Bible and he said, "Get that thing away from me." It was as if he was scared of the Bible. I liked that. I just walked a little closer to him with my Bible. And he said... And he started calling me some terrible names. And I looked at him and I said, "Are you man enough to carry it?" Those words came out of my mouth. I thought, "Dear God, I'm going to die." He looked at me and he goes, no, "Get that thing away from me. Get that thing away from me." And I'm like, I felt like it was in a Dracula movie, you know, holding a crucifix or something. I mean, this guy was almost terrified of me.
Wow.
2 days later, he finds me in gym class. And I thought, oh, here we go. I'm sitting in gym class and we weren't doing anything. Typical gym class. He comes and finds me. And he sits next to me in the bleachers. And I thought, what are you doing? He looks at me and he says, "Hey, you know I really didn't mean that." I said, "What do you mean?" He says, "You know, the other day when I threw you up against the locker, I really didn't mean that." He says, "If you ever have any trouble with anybody, just let me know. I now have a protector." He went from bully to protector. I said, "Oh, thanks a lot, man. I appreciate it." I said, "Man, I just want you to know Jesus really loves you." And he says, "Yeah, I don't know. And he never really talked to me, never really listened, but he never gave me a hard time ever again. What was that? That was the power of the Holy Spirit. I hope that one day he became a Christian. I have no idea if he did. I wish I could tell you that he did. But I'm telling you today, the purpose of the Holy Spirit coming is to transform your life and to give you power to live. It's hard to live on your own. It's hard to live under your own power. But when you've got power to live, it's a whole lot different. Because now, when those problems come your way that try to suck you in, you can actually give the problem a problem. You can say, wait, really? Really? I've got Jesus on the inside. He is the way maker.
Yes.
He is the promise keeper. He's the light in the darkness. And if you will just understand that the Holy Spirit is not some strange thing, it's not Casper the Friendly Ghost. He is a real person, just like Jesus is. He's part of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The three in one. And he comes to teach and lead and guide and empower and protect. But number one, to transform your life. Allow him. Allow him to come into your life. Receive Christ into your life if you haven't already. Receive him into your life. Take that step, just like Jesus breathed on the disciples and they received the Holy Spirit. Receive Christ. Take the next step. Receive the power from on high. And watch God transform your life under the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you, God, that 3,000 people came to Christ that day. They were transformed and they partook of the promise. And so, Father, I pray that today you would minister your great grace to those that were hearing today, those that were listening online, those that are here in person. If there be anybody, Father, that doesn't know you, Lord, I pray that your forgiveness and your love would just break through right to them now. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Right now, with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here today or maybe you're watching online and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to pray with you. I want to give you an opportunity that as I pray, we can pray together and Jesus will meet you right where you are. If that's you, you believe in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died for your sins, and that he has forgiveness for you. I want you to raise up your hand and say, that's me. I want to receive Christ. If that's you, raise up your hand. Thank you. Thank you. If there's anybody else, praise God. If you're watching online, let's pray together right now. I'm going to say this part of the prayer. And I'm going to ask everybody in the room just to repeat this prayer after me. So that those that are praying for the first time, that they would feel comfortable in this moment. Just say, Father God, I come to you. In the name of Jesus, I receive your forgiveness. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he was raised from the dead for me. I receive that forgiveness. I call Jesus my Lord and my Savior from this day forward. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Praise God. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, I want you to tell two or three people before you leave here today, listen, I made Jesus my Lord. I received Jesus into my life. Tell somebody. Tell me. I've got some things I'd like to give you. If you're watching online and you prayed with us, we'd like to send you some things. If you're here today and you say, I want that power you're talking about. I want the Holy Spirit to come on me in power. Power to be a witness. Power to have boldness in my life. I need boldness. And I just know that if you pray for me, Pastor, I'm gonna be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I know that I'll have power to be a witness. If that's you, I want you to raise up your hand right where you are and say, that's me. I want the power to be a witness. I want the infilling of the Holy Spirit. If that's you, raise your hand. Thank you. Is there anybody else? Thank you. Praise God. Let's pray right now. Father, I thank you for those, God, that are either online or here in this place that are raising their hands saying, God, fill them with the Holy Spirit and with power. now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, right now. Right now, wherever you are. If you didn't raise your hand, you wanted to raise your hand, and you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit and power, go ahead right now by faith and just receive His touch in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, right now. Father, I pray, God, those that are watching, those that are here, in the name of Jesus, that the power of God, just like it fell on the day of Pentecost and transformed Peter's life and transformed my life as a 15-year-old, in the name of Jesus, be filled with the Spirit. Be full of the Spirit. Be full of power. Be full of God's anointing in your life to be bold. And to be a witness in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 If you prayed with me and you were believing God with me in those moments, I would love to meet with you right after church, right up here. I want to just pray with you. I will put a mask on for those that are socially distanced. I don't want to huddle up too much, but just as soon as church is over, I'd like to just meet with you. If you're watching online, let me know so I can send some materials to you in your walk with God that I believe will help you in that walk with boldness. Amen. Praise God. Praise God forevermore. Let's have a stand as we have our closing sending out verse. We're going to just say this out loud together right now.